So I'm starting the recording now. The class, as you know, will be available online, but only if I start the recording. So that's done. To repeat what I said, the only substantive thing I've said so far is that we're not going to be doing a kind of close reading of the text, that this one essay is about all the reading there is. Now, next week I actually plan to have you read a paragraph from another book. So our readings will be very short. I don't want to work so much with the language of the books, even though that's a very fruitful way to proceed. But I want to instead look at the question, what happens if you can activate, which is a word I like a lot for TSK, what happens if you activate the TSK vision? And specifically, we're going to be looking with respect to space. If you could understand space, which is one of the fundamentals of our experience in a different way, what would that do? And we'll look at that in a variety of ways. So it's kind of programmatic. At least that's how I'm thinking about it. We will start and we'll do a practice or two, a practice, I think, today. And then next week we'll explore from a different perspective, and we will just keep trying to expand or deepen or enrich or open our understanding of space. And the point is not so that we then have some cool new understanding of what space is. The point is that as our understanding of space opens, our way of engaging the world opens too. Things change in a very fundamental way. That's the intention and the plan. So everybody who's here knows how to log on for the phone calls. So you've successfully negotiated the first hurdle. The second issue is using the website, and I'm sure Kathleen's given you great instructions on that. I want to encourage you to use the dialogue section of the website. I mean, I'd like for there to be an active discussion. In the past, I haven't usually looked at the discussion so much because I felt that that was something for the people in the course to be able to engage with each other. But my intention this time is to review discussion toward the end of the week before the next session. And so if you have questions for me or questions that arise out of the conversations that you have among yourselves, let me know, and I will try to make sure to address them. Now, in the phone call, what we're doing right now, what I found over the last couple of years was that when people wanted to ask questions or make comments, they generally preferred to do it using the chat box. And that's okay. But I actually want to ask you if you'd be willing to give it a try to just speak up. And as you know, as Kathleen pointed out to you, you're all muted, but you can unmute yourselves. And since we couldn't figure out how to do the raise your hand function, just speak up. That's fine. The reason I prefer that is because there's just a lag time built into the chat box. You know, somebody types something, and by the time I see it and I answer it, I break the train of what I'm doing, and then a minute later, somebody else comments on it. You know, the timing of the chat box is not ideal. So I think it would work better if people speak up. The issue with being live, of course, is like right now we're getting a little bit of feedback. That's why the default is for you to be muted. But if you want to speak, unmute yourself and speak up. Let's see. From week to week, I'm going to be assigning a practice. You have the reading. And I'd recommend that you review this chapter every week. Again, we're not going to do a close reading of it, but it's kind of an inspiration for what we're doing in this course. So So that would be my recommendation, since it's so short, it doesn't take very long to do that. And then there will be a practice every week, at least one, maybe more. And I would encourage you to set aside time every day, if you can, to do the practice. Now, one of the things, I'll talk about this in a little more in a moment, one of the things about TSK is that it's not a meditative tradition, or it's not a meditation-centered approach. And in practice, what that means is that you don't have to, you know, when you're meditating, I was going to ask you to raise your hands, but since we don't know how to do that, just the people I can see, how many, there's about five people here, six people, some of whom I don't know. How many of you have experience with meditation? Raise your hands up by your head and I can see them. Okay, everybody. I'm not surprised by that. And I know that a number of the people whom I can't see also have experience with meditation. I'm going to assume most of you do know something about or have had some experience. So when Tartang Tulku, whom I will often mostly refer to as Rinpoche, because that's the title that's given to him as a Tibetan Lama, when Rinpoche wrote this book, he was very clear that it's not another form of meditation. And one way you know that is that in the books, when he gives exercises, and a lot of the books have exercises, he calls them exercises. He doesn't call them meditations. He doesn't call them practices. He calls them exercises. So we'll do exercises, and you don't have to do them in the way you would do meditation. I'll say a little more about that, I guess, when we actually get to a meditation, when we get to an exercise. I know. I failed my own test, right? they're not meditations. Forget what that guy just said. Okay. So when we get to them, I'll say a little bit more about it. But I do think that if you can set aside about 20 minutes or so, 20 to 30 minutes a day to experiment, to explore the practices, that would be helpful. The other thing is that there will be things that you can look at during the day. I've started calling these walkabouts, you know, as you walk about, as you go around, go about your business. There are practices you can do, just exercises you can do. And I'll point that out too. And there'll probably be some exercises that I ask you to do that we don't actually go over in class. So you'll want to check the website to see what those are, just because there's always a problem in you know, setting aside enough time in class to do that. So those are the mechanics as far as I'm concerned. Does anybody have any questions about that? Comments? Okay. We're clear then. Okay. So let me identify the problem that I see us as identifying in these courses. The problem is the status, the position of the self. So in one of the books, one of the TSK books, Love of Knowledge, Rinpoche writes that the self lives in the world like an alien. Always afraid that someone's going to question its identity, you know, so show me your papers and deport it. You know, so I think an illegal alien is really what he had in mind. I think that's a striking image, but the point is you could say more fundamental. We find ourselves in the world and we just don't feel at home. We feel kind of alienated. So in English, we have that play on words between alien and alienated. The existentialists in Western thought used to say that we've been, our sense is that we've been thrown into the world, you know, like nobody told us it was going to be like this, you know. Here we are. There's not much we can do about it. And we have to figure out we have to accommodate ourselves. We have to find a way to be at home in the world. And we're always kind of struggling to do that. So in TSK, that sense of being alienated, of the self as feeling uncomfortable, not at home, is connected to a particular way of understanding space. And that's what we're going to explore here. If we can change our understanding of space, then we're also going to change our way of being in the world. And the premise, you could say, the hypothesis is that if we do that, we will develop a sense of really being at home in the world. So the title of this course is Given Together, and that kind of points at the direction that we're going to go in. There's a sense that we could develop of really being together with everything else that shows up in the world, not to mention everybody else who shows up in the world, that there is a relatedness, that we don't have to feel cut off. So there's a kind of a duality. The self finds itself in the world, but it's also separated from the world. It doesn't feel at home. And that duality is what we're going to be investigating. So let me say a couple of things about the TSK methodology. I mean, how do you go about doing all of this in TSK? And then we'll do a short practice, and that'll give us something to work with. So the thing about the methodology is that in TSK, we're always basing ourselves in experience. So in that sense, it's like meditation. So it's understandable that you might say, oh, well, this is how I meditate in TSK. But as I already said, no, it's not exactly meditation. And we'll be clear, it'll become clear, I think, why I say that. But we are focusing on the immediacy of experience. So one of the ways in which it's not like meditation is that we're just interested in our ordinary experience. We're not trying to change that experience. We are introducing new ways of seeing. So we take our ordinary experience and then we say, well, what if we didn't look at it the way we always do, but looked at it differently? So that's why we say TSK is a new vision of reality, because we look at things differently. So you take your experience or some aspect of your experience, you single something out, and you look at it differently. You're not trying to change your experience, although by looking at it differently, the quality of it may well change. You're just letting things be, but from this new perspective. So what that means is there's no special result you're supposed to get. And one of the things we can say is you're not even, it's not even expected that you will feel, more calm or more relaxed. That may well happen. When you do some TSK practices, it's certainly not the point. it's a nice side effect if that happens. Typically in meditation, I mean, depending on the kind of meditation, people would say the same thing. Being relaxed is great, but that's not why you meditate. Same thing in TSK. You just want to be present to your experience, but you want to do it in a new or a different way. And you want to be open to experience. And here I am going to quote a sentence from later in this essay that you've already all received, the space field essay. It's just a sentence, so we don't have to look at it together, but it's on page 104. He says, suppose that knowledge could draw on the dynamic of the field And by field, he means here, let's just say, the field of experience, what happens in our experience. Suppose that knowledge could draw on the dynamic of the field directly. That's kind of a nice pointer. Whatever is happening, there's a kind of a flow to experience, and we just want to be able to tune into that flow, to draw on the dynamic of the field. But don't worry about that. It's not exactly an instruction. It's just a suggestion or maybe an image for how you might do this. So one way that the TSK books talk about this is they use the term free and open inquiry. It's not in all of the books. It's love of knowledge. It comes up in other places too. I like the term very much because, you know, the inquiry that we're doing, first of all, it is an inquiry. It's not, we're not going to be laying out the way things are. You know, we're going to be inviting you to inquire into your own experience. Second, it's free in the sense that, there's no prerequisites for it. There's no particular circumstance or condition that you need to be, that you need to have set up in order to do this inquiry. It's available all the time, anywhere, under any circumstances. And it's open because you aren't expecting to get anything or you're not expecting to arrive anywhere. You're just allowing for tuning in to this dynamic in the field of our experience. And that's all. That's enough. Free and open. So another way to say that is that we're inviting a new kind of knowledge, you know, through the inquiry. The inquiry, knowledge comes through inquiry. It doesn't come by getting an answer. You know, it's not like you ask a question and then you say, okay, this is the answer, and now I know something I didn't know before. That's our kind of typical model for knowledge. But in this case, the asking the question is an invitation to know differently. And so the inquiry itself is the knowing. And part of what that means is that the knowledge that is activated in TSK is not a knowledge that belongs to you as the self, as the knower. And we'll look at this whole business of the knower in just a few minutes. The knowledge that's activated is you could say, I mean, activate again, as I say, I like the word, because you could say the capacity for knowing is available in our experience all the time. And we draw on it to some extent, because after all, we do know, right? But there are other possibilities for knowledge that we can activate. That's what TSK is about. So there's a way of saying that I'm fond of. Knowledge is not what the knower knows. And in fact, if knowledge is what the knower knows, it's one kind of knowledge. It's the kind of knowledge that a knower can know. But there are other kinds of knowledge that we can activate. Okay. So let's do a very simple preliminary practice, and then we'll kind of look at how we can work with that. So the way that the practice is, when we do a practice in the course of a phone call, you know, we're only going to take a couple of minutes. And in a sense, what we're doing is introducing a possibility for inquiry. It's probably going to be helpful to spend a little longer time with any of the practices that we do. But because what we're doing is inviting a different kind of knowledge, that's something that can happen actually instantly. Okay? It's like, oh, I never thought about it that way before. And when you see it that way, new knowledge becomes available. That doesn't take any time at all. That happens in the first moment. So a couple of minutes can be very helpful. So we will do our practices for 2, 3, 5 minutes maybe, not more than that, during the during a phone call. In this case, we're going to do a simple, short practice. And again, I'm going to take it from the essay, also on page 104. In the last paragraph, he's talking about a different kind of knowledge, a knowledge attuned to the field dynamic, he says. That's what we looked at a few minutes ago, where he talks about a knowledge that really can draw on the dynamic of the field. So at the bottom of 104, he says, a comprehensive starting point for such knowledge is appreciation for the active allowing and accommodation of space. That's the practice. So let me say what that actually means. Sometimes the practices are, you know, you need to think for a moment and say, well, how could you actually practice this? But that's important to do. So he's saying appreciation for the act of allowing and accommodation of space. The point here is this. We never think about space in ordinary experience. We think about space if we're, you know, scientists exploring outer space. But that's not the kind of space that we necessarily mean, you know, and this is a problem that I used to have all the time with people. I don't talk about it this way so much anymore, but I would say, well, TSK is about the exploration of space, and people would think about Mars and Jupiter and so on. And that's not that's not it. We're talking about the space of our ordinary experience. So here you are, everybody I can see on video is sitting in a room. Maybe somebody is sitting in a cafe. I don't know. But here you are, you're somewhere, and the whole idea of the where of somewhere involves space, right? You are able to be here because space allows that, right? If you imagine space away, it's funny because we say space is nothing at all, right? Space is just emptiness. We don't need to get into, you know, whether that's an accurate description or not. But if you said, well, when we talk about space, we're talking about something. That is to say, you could imagine, at least verbally, maybe only verbally, that there was no space. So if there was no space, there would be nothing at all, right? Because in order for something to show up, it shows up in a space. And that is the allowing and accommodation of space. Space, very freely, you know, as a gift, you might say, allows and accommodates appearance. And in particular, it allows and accommodates our appearance. And that is actually a very good pointer, you could say, in a very preliminary way to what it is that we're going to be doing in these courses. Space allows our appearance, and we appear in a very complicated way. We don't just appear as physical bodies. We appear as thinkers and knowers and feelers and so on. And somehow space allows all of that. Now, usually we don't connect that with space, and we aren't going to connect it with space until later in the course. Right now, we can just think about space in terms of the physical objects that show up in space. Space allows and accommodates physical objects. That's it. The exercise is to just let yourself reflect on that and appreciate it. You know, like we never ever think about it. It's a little bit like, you know, all the things that are installed in our cities under the ground. You know, I mean, all these sewer pipes and electrical lines and you know, I don't know, I guess radio antenna or above the ground, but all this stuff that makes it possible for us to go about our business, we never think about it. It's just there. We take it for granted. So this practice is just for a couple of minutes to appreciate how space allows and accommodates appearance. You could say existence, but let's just say appearance. Mm-hmm. Things can appear because of space. So take a couple of minutes to reflect on that, to appreciate it. Reflect is not quite as strong as appreciate. Appreciate means there's a kind of a felt dimension. Say, wow, that's pretty, well, think of it as, you know, as space making a gift. Just appreciate it. That's all. So when we do this kind of practice, you can close your eyes, you can keep your eyes open. I sometimes turn off my video when I do it because I feel a little awkward. Somebody's watching me while I'm busy appreciating space, you know, but you don't have to. That's it. It's just a very simple, quiet practice. We'll do it for a couple of minutes, okay? I'm going to stop my video. Daring. Okay. A couple of minutes. Okay, so that was a practice. That's how we do it. That was an exercise. So the next question, or the next move, is to ask if anybody has any comments or questions about that. Does that even make sense? You know, it's very often a kind of it's a legitimate question in TSK. You say, well, you know, you suggested I do this practice, but it doesn't even make sense to me. I don't even know how you go about doing it. So that's a very legitimate response because we're doing something that we don't usually do. You know? It's a little bit like, I don't know, like you're swimming underwater, you know, and you've never been underwater before and you don't quite know how to breathe, you know. Wait a second. That's not the best example because that's dangerous. But you know what I mean? Something has been brought up. Okay. Ken is raising a finger, and I think that means you want to say something. Ken, two fingers. Whoops, you're muted. You have to unmute yourself. Here comes his, there we go. Yes. No, you did unmute yourself, but now you're muted again. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah, so sometimes meditation can become a kind of a nest that we build for ourselves. And I mean, TSK practice can too. I mean, that's what the mind is really good at. It wants to make itself feel at home. Why? Well, maybe because it's not at home, right? What I was saying in the first place, like it's trying so hard to feel comfortable and at home. Okay. Anybody else? No. Okay. Somebody is not answering their phone, but. Okay. Let me well that's fine. We'll go on. Well, let me say something else about appreciating space. Turning it into a practice like this may not be, you may not feel all that comfortable with it or know what to do with it now. Maybe you can come back to it later and see. But the basic idea of appreciating that space is, that there are possibilities for space. That's really fundamental to what we're going to be doing in these courses. It's like if we just think of space as totally nothing, as totally like the most boring thing you could imagine, because after all, it has no properties or qualities, right? That's not a very fruitful way of thinking about space for purposes of this program. So to say that space is allowing and accommodating is already creating an opportunity for appreciation. And we're going to be, in a sense, what we're doing for the next weeks is appreciating the possibilities or the allowing and accommodating capacity for space. So that really is our starting point. Okay, let me mention a couple of things. One thing I forgot to say at the beginning was those of you whom I don't know, in one form or another, I mean, sometimes it's just maybe email exchanges, but those of you whom I don't know, I would appreciate it if you could send a paragraph to Kathleen, and Kathleen, if you could maybe remind people of that. Just a paragraph about your background. What, I don't know, whatever you think is useful, the kinds of questions that come to my mind that I'd be interested in, or what's your background with meditation or some similar discipline? What interests you? Why are you here? What would you hope? What benefits would you hope to get? Getting benefits is maybe a little bit of a limiting approach, but we always start off wanting to get something. Maybe we stay with that for a long time. Anyway, a paragraph. Also, Kathleen asked me a question privately here in the chat box, which is whether I'm going to do a weekly orientation. In the past, I've always done a little kind of transition and orientation between classes. I'm not completely sure. I'm not completely sure about that. I think I'll post something. But it's a very different situation because we're not doing this kind of detailed reading. So I don't need to orient people to the reading. But I may want to review what we've done. So I'll do something. Look for something. And then finally, David did post something in the chat box. He says, allowing manifest, I'm reading this out loud because some people are on the phone, and that way it's preserved for posterity. Allowing manifest with our senses, as each sense accommodates the particular way that sensual things appear to us. For instance, space expands as sound amplifies internally. The space of taste opens as bitter or sweet excites our sensors. Okay. Well, you're making a really interesting point, which is related to something I said before, which is that space allows and accommodates our way of appearing, and we appear in this very complicated way. We human beings, right? And one of the ways in which we appear is through our senses, right? Or that's not maybe the natural way to say that. but we are beings who have sensory experience, and space accommodates that. And it may be that in as we focus on different senses, as David is suggesting here, space itself shifts. That's something we could look at later on. At the moment, we don't need to, I don't think we need to, don't need to look at that. Yes. Right. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. So, you know, I guess I would say that the kind of inquiry that we're interested in is appreciative. And in fact, I think Rinpoche does talk sometimes about appreciative inquiry, or I think there was a movement a number of years ago in management theory about appreciative inquiry. You know, there could be, there's a kind of an inquiry, well, it takes us to the reading, which we really need to look at now. So let me come back to that when we look at the reading. So let's take a look at the first paragraph. When I say the reading, I'm just talking about what I want us to look at together. And what I'm going to do actually is share the screen so that people have it. Let me find it here. This is it. Okay. So do people see on the screen the first page of the reading? Okay. I'm going to send people, by the way, Kathleen already sent people this essay, but I'm going to send it to you as a PDF of that whole essay so that you're looking at the same page numbers when we look at it in the future. That may be helpful. Here we're just going to look at the first paragraph. So within conventional time and space, okay, so it's ordinary time and space, the stuff we never think about, you know, unless we're trying to be philosophers or something, or space scientists, within conventional time and space, knowledge becomes available to a knower. That's at the heart of what we're talking about. Or actually, maybe I have to read one more sentence. The knower operates as the observer of appearance and thus is located in space in a particular way. Okay. That's fundamental. We have a certain understanding of how we are in relationship to space. We're located in space in a particular way. And for now, maybe we can just say a kind of an obvious way of thinking of saying that is we are at the center of our space. Now, you could look at, you know, like I could look at myself and say, well, I'm located at space, in space, in a, you know, I could look from a very distanced perspective. I mean, here I am in a room, in a city, in a country, on Earth, you know, and I could take this kind of very cosmic perspective. If I were looking from Mars, you know, it would be even hard to find me, right? That's not what we're talking about. What we're saying is that we have a sense of ourselves as being the one who knows, right? Knowledge becomes available to a knower. And that knower, who is the observer of appearance, is located in space in a particular way. And it goes on to say what something about that way. The knower is situated in a place. So there's always a here I am, right? Here I am in this place, emerging from a background. I don't have anything to say about that. I'm not quite sure what that means. So, I mean, I get the words, but I don't have anything to say about it. As part of this locatedness, the observer stands outside what is observed, playing the role of a bystander, unaffected by the object under investigation. Now, investigation suggests a kind of an inquiry in the sense that Michael was saying, inquiry which is, kind of more active and doesn't seem to have quite as much of the sense of appreciation. Investigation sounds like a scientist, right? Yeah, that's part of it. So we're looking at an object, we're investigating it. But there is this appreciative quality. I don't think it changes what's being said here, though. The self, the observer, I'm just going to pretty much interchangeably say the self, based on what I said at the beginning, that the self is in the world in a particular way, which is a kind of an alienated way. It's not at home in the world. So here's this self, and this self is also the observer of experience or the observer of objects. And the self is located with respect to those objects in a particular way, this bystander way, right? So built into that is the very idea that I was saying at the outset, which is that we're not at home in the world. It's so interesting that to the extent, you have to think about this, and maybe this doesn't seem like a good description to you, but you just reflect on it. Now and over the coming week, the self is in space, and it's in space in a way that already separates it out from everything else, because it's the observer, it's the bystander, right? So it's located at the center. So we're looking at a space as we experience it, not space as you might try to measure distance, for instance, but how do we experience space? And you say, well, we don't experience space at all. There's nothing there. There's nothing to experience. That's why we started with the idea of appreciating the capacity of space to allow and accommodate. There is something, there is a quality to space that we can connect with. But when you ask the question, how do we experience space? Or let me say that differently. When you ask the question, what's our relationship? Me as a self, what's my relationship to space? I'm located in space in a particular way. And my way of being located in space is the bystander way. Nothing else gets to have that relationship to space. I mean, for good, for better or worse, you could say that's what alienates it. That's us. That's what isolates us. But here we are in this particular role. And that's why, if you go back up to the beginning of this paragraph, Rinpoche says, the way we have of knowing, which is this bystander way of knowing or this observer way of knowing, right, is completely tied in to our ordinary understanding of space and time, he says, conventional space and time. And we will be looking at time in passing from time to time. But our main focus here is space. When we understand space in a certain way, we have a way of being ourselves, and that's the bystander observer way. We're located in that space in a certain way. So if we change our understanding of space, our understanding of ourselves may change. And if we change our understanding of how we are located, our understanding of space will change. The two are completely related to each other. And in a way, the key term is locatedness, right? It's because of the way we're located in space that we experience the world in a certain way. And it's this kind of alienated, isolated, not at home way. So that's our starting point. And the practice we did, which was just the simple practice of appreciating the allowing and accommodating nature of space, is something you can remind yourself to do from time to time during the week. We will also, I'll give you another practice. So I'll post it on the website it'll get posted. And it's going to have to do with being present in space. So I won't try to describe it because we're out of time. I won't try to do it because we're out of time. But I will get it posted within the next day. So take a look and then you can do that practice. So those are the two things you can be looking at. Review, looking at in the sense of doing inquiry or doing the practice, doing the exercise. And you can do it just, especially the exercise of allowing and appreciating just any time it occurs to you. Maybe figure out ways to remind yourself, because otherwise, to be honest, it won't occur to you because we're so used to paying no attention to space at all. So figure out ways to let it occur to you. Do an active occurring. And that'll be it. And then I am also going to post a one paragraph from the first book in the TSK series, which we'll talk about next time also. That's it. Done for today. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Absolutely. And questions, post questions on the website too. And the new people send in something to Kathleen. And Kathleen, you can follow up on that, please. Thank you. Okay. See you next week.